And welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, more land, more sports. We got Carwin back-to-back weeks. How you doing, Carwin?
Oh, man. I'm doing good. I just ate. I'm full, got some energy, and I'm ready to go. Thanks for having me again, Vincent.
No problem. We'll get right into it. So on Thursday night, the Carolina Panthers are playing the Atlanta Falcons. The last time these two teams met up, Carolina had the better end of Atlanta, beating them 23-16 just a little over a couple of weeks ago. I don't think Julio Jones was playing in that game, though, but he'll be playing this time around. So that'll make a huge difference for sure, as this time Carolina is favored to win 2.5 over under 51.5. I'd probably take the over on that one, despite them not reaching that last time. I think both of these teams would be forced to play a little bit more offense. Not sure if Christian McCaffrey will be back for this game, but I think Carolina will find a way to win this game even without him, even if Julio is playing for Atlanta. I'm going to give Carolina the benefit of the doubt, and I think they'll win this game 30-27.
Okay. I know last time I picked Carolina, and they did, but things were different back then. Like you said, they didn't have Julio. They also had Dan Quinn as their head coach. And as you've seen, the team looks like they've just gotten better and improved overall as a team. And Todd Gurley, it seems like he's also improved as well. I saw that he's on pace to run for 19 touchdowns this year, which is very substantially high. Obviously, his yards per carry isn't really up there. Matter of fact, his first 100-yard rushing game came against Carolina this year. So I think Todd Gurley is going to be a factor. Julio's going to be a factor. The team not having Dan Quinn is going to be a factor. So I think Atlanta gets the revenge and gets a win this Thursday night against Carolina. And I say it's going to be 27-30, Atlanta.
Wow. So we got 27-30-27. So we both had the same score, but we got different teams winning this game.
Wait, you said 30-27?
Yes.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, though.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't know. Had I known, I would have tried to pick something different. Damn. All right, well, then shit. Maybe that's a sign that that's going to happen. But yeah.
Yeah. All right, next game is going to be another division game. The New England Patriots are playing the Buffalo Bills. Bills are riding a two-game losing streak after suffering losses from Tennessee. And actually, no, they did have a two-game losing streak, and then they ended that playing the Jets. But prior to that game against the Jets, they had a two-game losing streak against some pretty decent teams. But now they're going to be playing New England, who doesn't really look all that decent this year, especially after last week's performance by quarterback Cam Newton. And just like the whole team overall just had a bad performance. Newton went 9-for-15, had 3 interceptions, and ended up getting benched. Got sacked once. Had a QBR of 3.5. Carwin, a 3.5. I hear that, Xbox. 3.5.
That's bad.
And then they're just not looking good anywhere. I mean, you got to be impressive with Damian Harris going 10-for-58, 5.8 yards a carry.
Right.
But I'm looking at the box score from the receiving stats last game, and I see Jacoby Myers had 4 catches for 60 yards, and then the next highest receiver was Demir Byrd with 1 catch for 16 yards. That's unacceptable. You lose at home like that, and that's the worst loss that Bill Belichick has ever had in New England. Yeah. I still think Buffalo is going to win this game, and I think the Patriots' struggles will continue. I think the Bills still have a top 10 offense in this league, and I think they'll continue to show it this weekend against New England.
Yeah, it's not looking very good for Bill Belichick and Cam Newton, I mean, they look promising to start the season off. They beat Miami. Newton had two rushing touchdowns. And then the game after that, is it the game after that? They played Seattle, I want to say.
Did they play Seattle week three?
Oh, that was week three? Or was that week two? I can't remember.
Go ahead and make your point. I'll pull it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to wait. Whether that was week two, week three, they went to Seattle, and they went toe-to-toe with Seattle. It came down to the last play of the game. Newton passed for, like, 396 or 97 yards. And, like I said, they were one play away from winning. Newton almost scored and ran it in. So ever since then, you really have it. Oh, and then after that, they bounced back, played the Raiders. They beat them, but Newton didn't have no stellar QB performance that game. So really, since the Seattle game, Newton hasn't really performed as well leading up until now. Same thing. Not even just Newton. The receivers, the talent around him, it just seems like they haven't been producing or getting open as well right alongside him. I think they need that good, reliable, consistent receiver that Newton can just that security blanket that he can look for and just throw it to, because it's not Edelman anymore. I guess he's getting kind of, tearing, breaking down with the injuries, and he just doesn't seem the same. And Nikhil Harry so far, I really don't like to label players a bust, but I got to call it how I'm seeing it. And so far, Nikhil Harry's been a bust for New England.
From what I understand, Nikhil Harry got drafted before DK Metcalf.
I thought he was a first round pick.
And Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, Nikhil Harry was one of the first, few receivers taken out of that draft, out of Arizona. So he has not lived up to expectations at all. I mean, maybe it's not too soon to say to call him a bust, because only his second season. So maybe he needs a change of scenery. Who knows? But so far, hasn't been good. And Demir Byrd, who came from Arizona, I thought he was going to be better for them, but that hasn't panned out either. So, and the Bills, their offense has been kind of stagnant. Been stalling the last couple weeks. They couldn't even score a touchdown against the Jets last week, so that's bad. So I think the Bills bounce back here against New England, and I got the score being 14-31.
Okay. Yeah. So Nikhil Harry got drafted before AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, Deontay Johnson, Deebo Samuel. All those guys are playing better than Nikhil Harry.
Yep, for sure. What round was he? Was he second or high? Was he first or high second?
He was high first. He was 32nd pick overall.
Oh, see? First round receiver.
And the Patriots used their first round pick on Nikhil Harry.
And then he got hurt right out the gate. Couldn't even play until, week eight?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. So, yeah, so like you said, it is kind of hard to label him. Oh, and my Bills score, I'm gonna give them 27 to 16.
What? Okay, all right.
Yeah, 27 to 16.
I don't see New England making it that close.
New England's gonna score two touchdowns, miss the extra point on one, and then kick a field goal. That's where they're gonna get 16.
Okay. All
right. Yeah. All right, so we have a guy making his debut this weekend, and his name's Tua Tagovailoa, and he's going to be going against Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, and all those guys. I think Miami gets their butts whooped this game.
Dang.
And I hope I'm wrong, because I'm really rooting for Miami, even though I shouldn't be rooting for an AFC team in an interconference matchup, with wild card standings and whatnot. But still, I love this Miami team. I love watching them play. I liked watching them play with Ryan Fitzpatrick too. I don't know how Tua's gonna do. I'll definitely be keeping an eye on him on Red Zone. The Rams are only a 3.5-point favorite. I think I would take that, honestly.
Right.
Over under's 46. I would take the under on that. I don't think Miami's gonna do a whole lot of scoring with Tua in there. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I'm not rooting against Tua or anything. I just think he's going to be rattled up going against one of the best defensive lines in football. And obviously the best pass rusher in football, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the Rams winning this game. I'm going to give them 23 to let's do 23 to 16.
Almost like the Bills and Patriots.
Yeah, I wanted to say 23-13, but I don't know. Miami might be able to score. I don't know. Chicago didn't do all that well against the Rams the other day.
Yeah.
But I feel like Miami has a better offense than the Bears, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know how Tua is going to do. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're obviously going to give this guy a chance, but I think they should have waited one more week.
Yeah.
Before bringing him in against Aaron Donald and company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been easier to play him against Arizona, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not as a, like,
team. Especially with Chandler Jones not being there, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, like, not as a team, because I think Arizona is a little better team than the Rams, but as far as, like, defenses go, I think he would have had an easier time against that defense.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you don't want to start him against a really good defense and he plays bad, and then it ruins his confidence, you know?
Yeah. All right, Tua making his debut. I think got pulled too early. He was hot. And this kind of puts a decent amount of pressure on Tua. If he goes out there and doesn't perform well, then, you know, he makes the Miami organization look bad and pulling fits and throwing Tua in. And then on top of that, you also got to think, with Fitz being on a hot streak, him just sitting, he might have gotten cold. You throw him back out there, who knows what he's going to do, you know? So this is a very risky move for Miami. Hope it works out for Tua. He's a good kid. This will be a tough task going against Donald and that D-line and Ramsey in the secondary. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, the Dolphins, their offense is good because of coaching, I believe, and schematics. I think Brian Flores did a good job getting good production out of his players, but individually they don't really have, outside of Devontae Parker, the receivers aren't really anything special. Preston Williams, Jakeem Grant, I mean, I don't really see them getting that much separation against the Rams secondary. I mean, like, I think the only, you know, best consistent reliable receiver they got is Devontae Parker, and I feel like Ramsey's probably going to be shadowing him, so I don't know how wide open he's going to get. So you really, you know, you're not looking at many options for Tua to throw to, except for maybe Mike Gesicki. Maybe he can get open and you know, maybe utilize Jakeem Grant's speediness. So with that, I got the Dolphins scoring maybe about 10 points. I say he gets a garbage time touchdown, and then it airs all over red zone like Tua got his first touchdown. And and then I got the Rams getting 21 points. So 21 to 10, Rams.
All right, that's fair. Hey, what if Tua got injured and then Fitzpatrick came in on, like, the game-winning drive opportunity?
Oh, no.
They won the game.
Oh, no, that'd be bad. And on top of that, you got to think all these other rookie QBs are doing good, Burrow and Herbert, so Tua kind of has to live up to catch up to them, too, as well.
Yeah, especially since Tua was drafted right in between those guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not like Tua was like a third or fourth round pick and doesn't have as many expectations. This guy was a, you know, in NBA terms, this guy was a lottery pick.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. He was. So. Mm-hmm. I got him on the bench, so we'll see how he does.
Yeah. Next game that I'm going to produce or talk about might be the best game of the week, to be honest. We got the Ravens and the Steelers. Ravens 67% chance to win according to ESPN Football Power Index. I think that's a little too high. Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite with the over-under being 46.5. I think that's the perfect over-under. It's normally when these two teams play, the score can be like 23-20. Or 20-17. This game's going to be another one of those 3-point games, in my opinion. You got Lamar Jackson, who's 1-0 against the Steelers. Didn't play the prettiest of games against the Steelers last year. But last year, when they played the second time, RG3 was starting. They kind of whipped up on the Steelers. But Big Ben didn't play in either of those games, and he's back now, so it's gonna be interesting. You have Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, looking like probably the best receiving core in that division, especially now that Odell Beckham Jr. is out for the year for the Browns. So yeah, then to worry about, you got James Conner, who's playing really well, has 451 yards on 95 carries, 4 touchdowns on the ground. Chase Claypool is the leading receiver in Pittsburgh with 18 catches, 333 yards, 4 touchdowns. So very, 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 very good to see coming out of Pittsburgh. Big Ben having a good season, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Lamar not doing too bad, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I think the Ravens will somehow find a way to pull this out. I think the Ravens have enough guys in the secondary to slow down the Steelers' offense. It's not going to be the easiest thing to do, but I think the Ravens can get the job done. And I'm going to go with the Ravens winning this game 23-20.
Okay. This is definitely going to be is this America's game of the week? I feel like it's got to be.
It's not. The game of the week is the Saints and the Bears.
Why?
Because, bro, I don't know.
Okay, nobody cares about the Bears. Well, in my opinion, this is a game of the week. This is a very This is a deep rivalry that stems years back. The Ravens and the Steelers, they always play tough, play hard with a lot of heart, and sometimes it can get sometimes it can get violent. Oh. And I think it'll be a very entertaining and fun game to see. You have the reigning MVP, Lamar. You got what might be the best defense out there in the Steelers. Minka's been playing at a high level since he's been traded there last year. They have a good linebacking core, as you saw. They didn't let Henry run wild on them last week. So I think this is going to be a game where Lamar is going to have to try and win throwing the ball, because I don't see Ingram or Gus or J.K. Dobbins running over that's those Steelers. I think it's going to have to be on Lamar's arm. He's going to have to trust those receivers to get open. I think he's going to have to rely more on Andrews, because when I saw a stat where he and Andrews have like, I forget what it was. I think it was like the most QB to a pass catcher tight end combo within the last 2 years or something like that. So I think he needs to get back to that security blanket. The Steelers, they got Roethlisberger this year, so their offense is definitely performing better. And they do have reliable receivers with Juju and Clay and Deontay. And Ebron's not a bad tight end either. You also got a decent, steady run game. So I got this game being... I think I'm gonna have to go. Steelers. Yeah.
Okay. Remember when Ebron was a first round pick?
Was he? I know he was drafted by the Lions. I didn't know he was first round. Where'd he come out of? Notre Dame?
Sure. I just remember like Eric Ebron was drafted in like the first round by the Lions, and he didn't pan out to what they wanted him to
be. Yeah, and then he had a resurgent comeback year with Locke and the Colts, where you call like what 13 touchdowns or something.
Yeah, he did pretty well. He was drafted 10th overall in 2014.
As a tight end, that's deep.
Yeah.
It's deep.
Yeah, man.
It's exquisite.
He drafted before Odell Beckham Jr.
Dang, he must.
And a whole lot more.
Must have been something in college, huh? Wait, what was your prediction for the score?
23-20 Ravens.
Oh, okay.
Like that's no bias, bro. I really think we can.
Okay. Yeah, I think you can too. It's just I think that Steelers defense is gonna come clutch against the Ravens, because Lamar hasn't been playing as well as you would have expected him to, coming off of the MVP campaign.
Yeah. Oh, Carmen, the game of the week might be San Francisco and Seattle.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure. I still would, you know, prefer this one.
Yeah, me one. Too. All right. This one, Tennessee is playing Cincinnati. Tennessee should win this game, but I honestly would not be surprised if the Bengals hung in there with them. Joe Burrow's getting better every week, Harwin. He had that one bad game against the Ravens, but other than that, he's been looking pretty.
He's been in the pocket like Burrow.
You know, I mean, he has 9 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, but still. Titans favored by 5.5. Over and a half is 53. Over under is 53.5. I'd try to take the over, as I think both of these offenses are going to put up points. The Bengals just traded Carlos Dunlap, so who did they get out of him? They got a draft pick and a player to be named later. You know Carlos Dunlap got traded.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that until you said that. I just heard, as far as trades go, I just heard about Everson Griffin, that's it.
Everson Griffin to the Cowboys. Yeah, they traded Carlos Dunlap to the Seahawks. They got B.J. Finney and a draft pick for him.
Okay, well, the Seahawks could definitely use, you know, anything they can get on defense because it's been atrocious.
Yeah, absolutely. They need to get a couple more people in the secondary.
Right.
But to get back on track, I think the Titans will win this game 33-24. I think the Bengals are going to hang in there with them. And I think Tennessee will slowly but surely pull away in the second half.
Right.
33-24.
Right. Tennessee. All right. 31. Wait, no. Hold on. Tennessee. That's what I got.
So you got the Bengals hanging.
But Burrow, the Titans defense is it's decent. It's not nothing to write home about. It's solid, it can get stops. They got 3 interceptions against Roethlisberger. So I think it can be had by Burrow. He's definitely got plenty of talent on offense with AJ Green, Boyd, T. Higgins. And even if, like, remember, I told you, Vincent, I told you that Bernard was deserving of a starting role in this league as a running back. And
who did he play against last week? The Browns?
Yeah, the Browns. And, no, he came up clutch. He got a late touchdown for them. And he definitely filled in admirably for Joe Mixon. So, I'm just saying that. He's deserving of a starting role. That's like Kamara.
Oh, yeah. I'm not disagreeing.
Yeah, it's like Kamara is better than Latavius, but, you know, Latavius is still a good starting running back. But, so even if Mixon isn't able to go this week, because I know he was hurt, I think Bernard will fill in admirably again. And the Bengals are going to have their pants full with Henry. I think Henry's probably going to run for over 100 yards against the Bengals because their defense isn't that good, as you saw against the Browns. Mayfield having a career day, so I think the Bengals are going to have their hands full with the Titans offense. AJ Brown, I can see him going for over 100 yards and a touchdown again. So I got the Titans winning this one.
We got the other Ohio team. The Cleveland Browns are hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. Browns favored by 2.5, over under 51.5. I definitely take the over in this one. I think the Raiders will come out and I guess this would be considered an upset. I think they'll win this game against Cleveland. I know people are saying the Browns might be better off, or more specifically Baker Mayfield might be better off without Odell. That could be the case, but I think the Raiders will do just enough to win this game. I think it'll be a close game. They're confusing me though. Like, they just beat Kansas City and then they lost to Tampa Bay by a decent margin last week. I didn't get to check out the highlights of the Bucs game, but it must not have been pretty if they gave up that many points. But I think the Raiders will find a way to turn it around and
win this game in upset fashion. I got the Raiders winning this game 30-24.
Yeah, the Raiders are definitely, when it comes to beating teams and the Browns, they definitely looked better last week with Mayfield having might have been the best game in his career, throwing 5 touchdowns. And they're just looking to carry that momentum and playing against the Raiders. Either team can definitely win. It wouldn't surprise me if the Raiders. Oh, hold on. Sorry, Ben. Some of those.
That's all right.
Go! Appreciate it. Bless me. Oh, man. Whoa. That was bad. But I got the Browns winning this one. I don't think it's going to be too high scoring, but I think the Browns win this one 20-23. So it comes down to a game winning field goal. And yeah, that's my prediction for this game.
Why do you say the losing score first?
To throw you off. Yeah.
You just want to make sure.
Nah, I just say it at random. I don't know. For some reason, I just say the losing score. Because I like saying it in numerical order, I think is what it is. Because the losing score is going to be lower than the higher score. So I just say the loser score first.
Gotcha. All right, this next game, the Chiefs are playing the Jets. You got the best team versus the worst. I'll tell you what, the spread is 19.5.
What?
If you want to bet on Kansas City to win this game, you need them to win by 20.
19. What?
Over under is 48.5 points. I don't even think the over under is going to be that high. Or if there should be that high. I think it should be less than that. I don't think the Jets will get many.
I think the Chiefs might do it all on their own, though.
You think the Chiefs can get 49? Well, they could.
For sure.
It is the Jets, but I feel like they could get like 28-35 in the first half and then just like calm it down.
Yeah. But I mean, the Jets. Oh, go ahead. I was going to say the Jets stood up. No, their defense stood up pretty well against the Bills. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the hell is going on with the Bills. I understand they played the Titans in Kansas City, but the Jets, bro, how do you only score 18 points against the Jets? And then the Jets were the only team to score a touchdown that game? Come on now.
He's that boy coming out of college. Actually, I have no idea who he is.
I got Kansas City Chiefs winning this game 35.
Hey, you stole my win point for the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs winning this. Actually, you know what? I'll go one higher. I got the Chiefs winning this 42-7. I get the Jets one touchdown, 42-7.
Well, if I were to get the Jets a touchdown, I'd give them 10 points then. But I'm going to go with 35-6. They're going to get two measly-ass field goals.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, speaking of Ebron, we got the Indianapolis Colts going against the Detroit Lions. This should be a good one.
I think it's going to be low scoring. The Colts don't put up a bunch of points, and their defense is pretty good this year. So,
well, the Colts, they've put up 23, 31, 19, 36, 28 in their last 5 games. I mean,
but when they score is when their defense is getting turnovers and like scoring. They don't put up points, I'm saying like Rivers, as you know, he turns the ball over a lot. So I don't think that Phillip Rivers offense scores points like that, can score points consistently if you're relying on them. So.
Well, Vegas has the over under 50.5. So you would have to expect these teams to score at least 25, 26 points each. Colts are favored by 2.5. I can see the Lions winning this game. And they're at home. You know, give me the Lions for this game, to be honest.
The Lions have been kind of coming up clutch recently, haven't they?
They won 23-20.
Did the Lions win the game before the last? I know they Stafford threw the game winner to Hawkinson, but did they win the game before that one? I can't remember.
Yeah, they beat Jacksonville 34-16, and then they lost to the Saints 35-29, yeah, which was a close game. And then they beat Arizona 26-23. They lost to Green Bay 42-21, and then they should have beaten the Bears in the Week One if DeAndre Swift didn't.
Yeah, so.
The Lions are better than what people think. Like, don't let the record fool you. I know they haven't won a home game yet, but I think that changes this weekend. Give me Matt Stafford and the Lions.
Okay, Vince. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm a.
I'm sorry. We're gonna go with 27-24.
Okay. Lions. I think the Lions can get a win this week as long as they get past that stingy Colts defense. I mean, they got Galladay back, they got Jones, they got Hockenson. Swift has kind of been coming, bursting onto the scene, to say the least. They still got Peterson, so I think they have a much improved running game in the Lions, and I think they can pull this off. But then again, on the other hand, as long as Rivers, you know, does Rivers things and turns the ball over, it's definitely going to help the Lions. But I think the Colts need to run the ball a little more, because the Lions rushing defense, you know, isn't all that good. So I think they need to play run first, go with the play action. And if the Colts have any chance of winning, because if it comes down to Rivers, he's just gonna throw a pick to seal the game. So I got the Lions winning this one, 30-21.
Okay. Remember when T.Y. Hilton used to be?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's Rivers. He's not good enough. Like, and then you also got to think he's coming on to a new team. Whereas, when Luck was there and Brisket was there, they were more acclimated into the organization. But Rivers is just getting there, so he's not even thinking about like what he used to be or what he was. He's just picking his own people he wants to throw it to. So. I'm sure that's where that stems from. I don't think it's a knock on T.Y. It's a new environment for Rivers. So, he wants to throw it to.
I agree. All right. We got a division matchup. We got the Minnesota Vikings playing against the Green Bay Packers. Packers favored by 6.5. I don't know what happened to the Vikings this year. I think they were one of the teams that I predicted to make the playoffs this year. But they just haven't looked all that good this year. Granted, they played a few tough teams. They lost to the Seattle Seahawks by one. They lost to Tennessee by one. They lost to Green Bay in the first week, 43-34. I think their shocker was when they lost to Atlanta 40-23, considering how bad Atlanta's been this year. They lost to Indianapolis, only scoring 11 points, and they beat Houston for their only win of the season. I think Green Bay will come out on top again in their second matchup of the year, and I think the Vikings are going to be close to trading some players next week, as they already traded Ngakoue to the Ravens. After Ngakoue only played less than half of the season with these guys, so clearly the Vikings didn't live up to expectations this year. You know, if you take those 1-point losses against Tennessee and Seattle, they're 3-3 and they can make a push for the playoffs. But as for right now, unless they can get a streak going, they have three straight division games. They play Dallas, they play Carolina, they play Jacksonville. Those games are winnable. Those three right there. But then you got Tampa Bay, Chicago, then you got New Orleans. So you got another tough stretch of playoff caliber teams. So I don't know. If the Vikings lose here, they're officially done this season. But this is their last hope to get a push going and turn the season around. But I don't think they will, and I think Green Bay will win this game. And I got Green Bay 33-20.
Yeah, Vincent, the Vikings, they got the talent. They got Dalvin Cook, Madison, Thielen, Jefferson, Irv Smith, even. Well, I think they should utilize more in the past, but Green Bay, they seem to be on another level with their offensive production. Rodgers is playing at MVP level. If you just don't dwell on that game against Tampa, having Devontae back, they've got their chemistry back after that Tampa game. Devontae set a new career high in receiving yards. They just kind of steamrolled through the Texans, and their offense is just seeming really hard to stop. And they didn't even have A. Jones. They don't have Lazard, so. Like, they're gonna get, if they get A. Jones back this week, like I think they will, I kind of don't see the Vikings being able to stop them. You also think back on week one, Rodgers dismantled them. The score doesn't really do it justice. I know it looks like the Vikings that it was a close game, but it really wasn't. They just came back and threw a late garbage time touchdown. So I don't see the Vikings stopping Green Bay in this one. I think their offense prevails, and it's gonna be 21-35 Green Bay.
This next game is going to be the lone CBS game for 4 o'clock games, as the Los Angeles Chargers are playing against the Denver Broncos. And I'm trying to figure out how the hell ESPN Football Index has Denver winning this game.
They do?
And then the Los Angeles Chargers are a -3 favorite.
Wait, for bets, the Broncos are favored?
No, the Chargers are. You need the Chargers to win by 4 to win that. I would take that against the Broncos. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? They're not good. No. They're not. I thought they were going to be better this year, but they're not good. They just lost 43-16 to Kansas City. Their defense, Kansas City's defense and special teams at 2 touchdowns. I know they beat New England, but New England's not good. They beat the Jets. Anybody can beat the Jets. You know, they're talking about if Clemson's team can beat the Jets.
A what?
Disrespectful. What?
Oh, Clemson's team. I mean, I don't know. I could kind of see it.
No. The Jets are professional athletes. Not everyone from Clemson's going to make the
playoffs. They're not, but, you know, just have you seen that team? Man, but...
I'll tell you what, the Chargers, man, if they knew how to win close games, they would be dangerous. They lost by 3 in overtime to Kansas City. They lost by 5 to Carolina. They lost by 7 to Tampa Bay, which has been impressive considering how Tampa Bay's been playing. They lost by 3 to New
Orleans. And that was in overtime, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they lost 2 games in overtime against 2 Super Bowl contending teams. And then, you know, you lost by 7 to Tom Brady. And then you lose by 5 to Carolina. And then you have a win against Cincinnati and a win against Jacksonville. Dude, how are the Chargers not favored to win this game by more than 3? If anything, the point spread should be 6.5. But I'm gonna go with Herbert. And I'll tell you what, Herbert is starting to look like the rookie of the year. I know Burrow's been playing well, but I think Herbert's had a more impressive season so far, with his 12 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and 1,500 yards. Drew Lock, I'm not sure if he's the quarterback of the future for the Broncos based on how he's performed so far. I want to give this guy a chance, but he's not really impressing me all that well. I wish Echo was playing in this game.
Yeah, don't be that.
So, I'm looking at Eckler and Gordon. And like they're like the leading like rushers on their teams, and like it's pretty cool to be a teammate. I'm intrigued to see how Melvin Gordon's gonna do this year, or do this time against the Chargers. But I got the Los Angeles Chargers winning this game. I got them winning this game. I'm gonna give them 34. I know Denver's had like a decent defense where they don't give up too many points a game, but I think they will this time. I think they'll give up 34, and I think they're only going to put up 17. I
guess the Chargers. Oh, man, Vincent. Those. No, not in you, in the Broncos.
Yeah. Dude, Tim Patrick's their leading receiver.
Yeah.
Good God.
Wow. Perfect.
How is it not
you? Yeah, man, the Broncos, they got a lot of problems. A lot of holes. But yeah, I just, at the end of the day, it just seems like Elway isn't doing a good job as the owner/GM of that team. And they've been looking ever since Peyton's been gone. They've been trying to find their quarterback. And Drew Locke showed flashes last year where you thought to yourself, maybe it is this guy. But yeah, as far as this year goes, I'm not seeing it yet. Maybe they don't. Maybe he needs more weapons. I don't know. I mean, they got Judy. Sutton did go out for the rest of the year, so maybe we can give him a little bit of pass for that. KJ Hamler, he got hurt. Yeah. And now this guy's hurt, so it seems like, and then Lindsey got hurt, so it just seems like they've been kind of bad, and Drew Locke himself. Seems like they've been riddled with injuries, and they've had to come through adversity to try and win games. So no, I'll give them a little passes for those things, but they're not beating the Chargers. They Herbert, he's been lights out. I gotta be honest with you. I gotta tell you, I didn't like Herbert coming into the season. I didn't really think he was gonna do that well for the Chargers. But a part of that is because I also didn't even really know that much about him coming out of college or how well he did when he was at Oregon. And I was saying that I thought the Chargers should have went with Jalen Hurts in the third round instead. But I guess it looks like they found their quarterback. And you can see it ever since Tyrod, no disrespect to Tyrod, you're a good quality backup dreaming QB, Tyrod. But Herbert's definitely outplayed you and exceeded expectations. And you can just see it ever since Herbert took over, that Chargers offense just looked like they just became so much more full of life. Keenan Allen's play has improved. His numbers have gone up. Hunter Henry in a contract year, he's been solid tight end standpoint, nothing crazy. And I know Eckler's gotten hurt, so he's had to deal with his best weapon. Maybe that's Keenan Allen, but he's definitely up there dealing with his arguably his best weapon being hurt. And then the running game is taking a hit too. Josh Kelly, he started out pretty good, but since he's had to take over, he hasn't did that well. So Herbert's definitely doing good overcoming that, and I see them winning this game 31-14.
I forgot to say earlier, we're not going to get cute here. Game of the week is the Kansas City Chiefs. Next game, we have the Saints and the Bears. Two teams that have two losses each. Saints coming off a bye week. Not sure if Michael Thomas is going to play. I see Alvin Kamara. He has 21 less carries than Montgomery, and he has 11 more yards. And then Kamara is the leading receiver on the Saints as well. Now, part of that is because Michael Thomas isn't there, or else he would be the leading receiver. But I'd say the Saints are doing a good job of getting things done without Michael Thomas. I hope he plays this weekend for my fantasy team. At the Bears, and I know they've been barely getting by. I don't know how they've been surviving, but you're not going to be able to make it with the Saints by scoring. How many points are they scoring a game? It seems like they're scoring 16, 17 points a game. They've scored 27, 17, 30, 11, 20, 23, and 10. So maybe around 20 points. They've scored a game. You're not going to be able to do that against the Saints. Your defense is good, but it's not that good to hold them back that much. If the Rams can put up 24, then why can't the Saints do it? The Saints are favored by 4. Over-under is 43.5. That's a pretty good over-under. I can see the Saints winning this game 24-17.
Okay, that's a good prediction. The Bears, they have a really good defense, just their offense is the problem. Their running game hasn't been that good with Montgomery as you thought it would have. They've had some QB problems, went from Trubisky to Foles. It seemed like it was working for a little bit, but Foles has been folding recently. He hasn't looked like the same QB that you saw win the Super Bowl for the Eagles a few years ago. The fact that there is, Foles, yep, just, at the end of the day, he can get hot, but he's really not that good. And the Bears, I don't see him taking them far if they were to make the playoffs because of that good defense. And the Saints, they've definitely, oh, I think, and Sanders, he's on the COVID-19 list, so he may not play again as well. Yeah, Saints not having Sanders and Thomas, and you know they're still fighting through and winning games, so you gotta applaud them for that. Sean Payton and Breeze doing a good job getting through that, and utilizing Kamara being the leading rusher and the leading receiver. He's playing a lot better than I thought he would have based off of what I saw from last year. I know he was hurt, but just the formula that the Saints were going with, I just didn't see that helping his production, because I would see the Saints get ahead in a lot of games. They would just keep throwing the ball and they wouldn't run it. So I'm thinking like, all right, well, Kamara's not going to get many touches if that's how they're going to keep playing. But yeah, they're, once they get Thomas and Sanders back, I see their offense taking a big step forward and improving. But even so, I think they'll be able to have enough firepower to make it happen against the Bears. But with that being said, them, you know, being on a limited options when it comes to weapons, I don't see them doing that, scoring too many points against that Bears defense. So I don't see them getting in the 30s, maybe in the low to mid 20s. So I think the Saints will score. I got the Saints winning. I get the Saints 26-11 Bears.
Okay. All right. Next game, Seattle Seahawks are playing the 49ers. That should be a good one. That game might be closer than people think. Seattle coming off a rough loss against Arizona. I'm sure that kind of stunned them a little bit, considering how well they've been playing. 49ers have been up and down this season. Like, they get impressive wins, and then, like, they have losses where it's like, how did they lose to these guys? You know? But, you know, they kind of had a devastating loss against Miami. They came back, and they beat the Los Angeles Rams, who've been playing well. They beat the brakes off the Patriots. They lost to the Eagles when Nick Mullins was playing. Arizona's just... Seattle's just been playing really well. Up until, they played well against Arizona, too, offensively, I should say. I'll tell you what, though. In each of the games that Seattle has played this year, their opponents have hung in the game with them. You beat Minnesota by one. You beat New England by five. You beat Dallas by seven. You beat Miami by eight. And then you just barely lost to Arizona. San Francisco can definitely win this game, but I think the Seahawks will do just enough to win this game, and I think San Francisco just has too many injuries for them to be able to catch up. I think if Seattle can try to stack the box and make Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball more, well, actually, I don't know, because their pass defense is pretty bad, so I don't know what they can do, but. I mean, maybe they don't really need to stack the box as much. I mean, San Francisco just goes through running backs like it's nothing. It's like no matter who you throw out there, they're gonna perform. It just doesn't make sense to me. But I think Seattle will do just enough to win this game. I got them winning this game 34-30. No, that's a little too high. I don't think San Francisco scored that much. 34-26.
I got Seattle winning this game. Of course, they're just they're just a better team on offense. Obviously, not their defense, because it's been amongst the worst in the league, which is why you always see their games go up until the last drive, because their offense just has to strike back whenever their bad defense keeps giving up touchdowns. So I think because Shanahan is a good coach, and they do get the most out of their running backs. Dick Garoppolo seems like, since that Miami game, he's gotten back more healthy and has played better, as evidenced by when how well he played against the Rams, which is no easy defense to play against. So I think, even though Garoppolo lost Debo, I think he can get it to Ayuk and Kittle and Kendrick Bourne, and throw it to the flats to McKinnon. I think they also get Tevin Coleman might be playing again this weekend, might be back. So I think,
I don't think they're going to use him that much. So I keep seeing
him. Yeah, I mean, they might show up. Ease him in just because he's coming off IR. So, but it'll probably still be McKinnon and Hayes to get majority of the touch. Oh, no. Dang it.
What's wrong?
My dog. My dog got into something. Bad. Something? No, he ate.
What are you, some chocolate?
A spicy chip.
Not good. Oh, God.
Anyways, yeah, so I think the Garoppolo can put up some good points against Seattle, but not to win, but enough to make it close. So I say it's going to be 27. I think it'll be 27 to 35 Seattle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Close to my 34-26. They both have 8-point deficits. All right, next game is a Sunday night game. And why the hell is it a Sunday night game? The Dallas Cowboys are playing against the Philadelphia Eagles. Both of these teams have 2 wins. I think Ben DiNucci is going to start for the Cowboys this week if Andy Dalton doesn't play after he suffered that hit from John Bostic. Eagles are favored by 8. Over-under is 43. I'll tell you what. I just can't watch the Dallas Cowboys anymore. I'm sick to my stomach with this team. Not that I'm a fan of the Cowboys, but, like, they just haven't looked good at all since Dak's injury. Look at this. Zeke Elliott has 113 carries for 458 yards. You want to know how many miles Sanders has? He has 71 carries.
And how much does Elliott have?
113 for 458. So Ezekiel Elliott has 28 more yards than Sanders and 42 more carries. Now the whole yards per carry thing can be a little misleading. Zeke does have 5 touchdowns. How many of those could have came from the goal line, from like the 1-yard line or something, you know? But still, like, this is crazy. And then, Dallas Cowboys, they might not have Zach Martin. And isn't Tyron Smith already done? He's already not playing, right? Carwin?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, I was saying. Yeah, I know he. I don't think he's playing this game. I'm not sure if he's out for the year, but I'm pretty sure he's, because I know he hasn't been playing recently. So I'm gonna assume he's not playing this game either.
Yeah, I think even if Miles Sanders and Alshon Jeffrey doesn't play for the Eagles, I think they still win this game. I'm not going to waste too much time wasting my breath on this game. This
especially not with the way that Dallas is playing right now. They're complete crunch. Get them out of here. It hurts to even watch them. Yeah. So go ahead, do your projection so I can do mine and get this over with.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles 27 to 13. If DiNucci plays, they get 13. If Dalton plays, they'll get 17.
Oh, isn't that nice? How generous of you, Vincent. All right, I got Dallas losing 7 to 31. Eagles. Look, yeah, have you seen Dallas's defense? Vincent, they are uninterested, unmotivated. They're playing out there with no heart, no effort, no hustle. They look like they just don't care. They're just out there to, you know, hurry up and end the game, get it over with, and get their check. I see no heart from any of the Dallas's players on defense. None at all. Okay, and then you also look at the O-line. They're not protecting a thing. They didn't even care that their quarterback almost got his head knocked off. They didn't go to defend him or protect him, yeah, or anything. Now, I want to say that if that was Dak, I think they would have reacted differently. But because it was Dalton, because they don't have as much chemistry and as much playing time with him, I guess it didn't, you know, hit them as hard. Because, I mean, they still went over there and, like, kind of, like, wanted to see if he was going to wake up, but they weren't, like, defensive of him. So, yeah, the offensive line isn't protecting him, and they got all that talent on offense. It's just you can't get protected. You can't. So, as far as the run game goes, the offensive line isn't opening up holes for Zeke, and then the offensive line isn't protecting the quarterback to give him time to make reads and throw the ball to his talented receivers. So, because the offensive line is in shambles, I just don't see Dallas doing much scoring on offense. Even though you got Coop, and you got Lamb, you got Gallup. So, I just don't see them scoring any more than 7 points. And because their defense is so bad, the Eagles are putting up 31 for sure. So, yeah, Dallas is losing 7-31. I'm sorry, Dallas. But Jerry Jones, you need to do better in assembling your team. Stop just going after big names and just caring about headlines and stories. Like, draft, first of all, it should have gave Dak a deal. Second of all, you need to get some offensive linemen and some defensive players. Please, at least get some offensive linemen, because having a defense is definitely like a luxury, that second step, but you're definitely not going nowhere without no offense. You need to put up points, and you're not doing that without, because as you saw when they had Dak, even though they're as bad as their defense was, if your offense is in it, you're kind of always in the game if you can just strike right back after your defense is, you know, allowing all those points, and they just can't do that. So they're not going anywhere, Vincent. They'd be lucky to win another game the rest of the year.
Monday night game. Well, they are in the worst division, so they might take one of those games. Monday night game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing the New York Giants. Brady's playing the Giants. However, the stakes aren't as high as they used to be when Brady would play against the Giants. The Buccaneers are favored by 10.5. Over-under is 46. I'd probably take the under on that just because the Giants' offense is so bad. Scotty Miller is the leading receiver on Tampa Bay. Not Chris Godwin, not Mike Evans.
Nah. So what's his receiving stats compared to Mike's?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So Scotty Miller has 22 catches for 365 yards. Mike Evans for the year, do not have in front of me. But, I mean, it kind of makes sense because if you paid attention to Mike Evans, he has not been all that good this year. He's only had 2 games with 100-plus yards. Okay, so this season, Mike Evans has 25 catches for 318 yards. He just scores a lot because, like, when they're, like, inside the 10, they just do one-on-ones. Okay, so Scotty Miller has 3 less receptions than Mike Evans, but he has 47 more yards than him.
What's up?
Yeah. So Scotty Miller's had a couple of those plays where he'll get like 50-yard bombs and like he won't have much to show for it after. But this just goes to show that Brady's been spreading the ball all around and whatnot and not just like focusing on one guy, kind of like how Kyler's been focusing on DeAndre.
But it's justified, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Daniel Jones, I learned that out of his 4 career victories, 3 of them are against the Washington football team.
Like, that's bad. Danny Dimes throws more dimes to the other team than he throws to his own team, as he has five touchdowns and seven interceptions. He's averaging at least two turnovers a start, bro. Like, I think he's had like 21 career starts, and like he has like over 40 turnovers. I mean, I could be wrong there. I thought I read something about that earlier. It's a lot. He fumbles the ball a lot. I don't even know why I've wasted so much time saying all these numbers as if it's going to change my mind. But Buccaneers,
37-10. Dang. Okay. Yeah, this right here is an interesting matchup because Daniel Jones had his first ever career win in the NFL against the Buccaneers last year. Vincent, remember that one? That game was...
Oh, when he,
granted, it was Jameis Winston, but that game, that win, that put the spotlight on him right there. That put him on the map and started making everybody get ahead of themselves, saying, "Yep, the Eli Manning era is over. It's now, you know, about dimes this and dimes that." And then after that game, he went against Washington. He beat them, and then after that, he just went on a stretch of bad games and bad turnovers and not winning another game, I think, until maybe they play the Jets or something. So, definitely interesting matchup right here. Also, like you said, Brady's got a bad history against the Giants. But this Giants team, I definitely don't see opposing a threat. They're not getting rushing production going ever since Barkley's been gone. Dimes keeps turning the ball over. His offensive line isn't that good. Like, you got Sterling Shepard, you got Golden, you got Evan Engram, you got Slayton. Like, you need to get your best players the ball. So, they haven't been doing a good job of doing that, as evidenced by their offense. And Brady, he just seems like he's gotten a lot better. It seems like, you know, the worst games that he's had are kind of behind him now, since it was a new team and, you know, had the COVID stuff going on, not much in the off season. So it just seems like he's finally gotten into a rhythm, and I don't see that stopping against the Giants. Even though Godwin is out, I think Potty and Mike and Gronk is still going to be formidable to put up points against them. And that's not even counting Antonio Brown. Imagine if he was playing against the Giants. But he won't be back until week 9, so won't be seeing him until then. But yeah, I think the Bucks will put up 31. I got the Bucks 31, and the Giants, I'll say,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll say 10, 31 Giants. I mean, Buccaneers, 10-31 Bucks.
Yeah. Hey, so I pulled up the stats. So, in 2019, Daniel Jones had 18 fumbles. 11 of them were lost. So, in his career, in 20 games played, he's had 23 fumbles. 15 of them were lost. And then along with that, he's had 19 interceptions.
Turnovers.
He's had... Through his first 20 games, he's had more turnovers.
That's a recipe for disaster right there. That's going to lose you games 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's just... No, I'm kind of disgusted reading these stats. Now, he has Sterling Shepard. He has Engram. He has... Golden Tate. He doesn't have a terrible receiving corps. I mean, their receiving corps is better than the Ravens.
And the Eagles.
Don't get me wrong. Their receiving corps. I mean, look, if you take Mahomes and you give him that receiving corps, they might do pretty well. But I think it's quarterback play for that team. They gotta find someone, unless Daniel Jones steps it up. I want to ask you one more thing, Carlin, before I end things here. I saw something earlier about how people say that Trevor Lawrence should stay in school just to avoid playing for the Jets. I think that might be the stupidest thing Trevor Lawrence can do.
Seriously, like, if your goal was to make it to the NFL and you're going to be number one, you know,
overall, that's even good for your contract.
Year, why be number one? Yeah, like, why would you? I mean, what is staying going to do for you? What, you get your bachelor's degree early? You can get your bachelor's degree whenever you want while you're in the NFL. Get drafted. Get your millions of dollars. Get your. You're not getting paid to play in college. Get your money now.
Can he not get like any type of compensation just for like being advertised and just being as popular as he is?
So he can't be paid for his liking, supposedly. So like I don't think he can have like active sponsorships until he gets drafted. Not sponsorships. What are they called? Are they called sponsors? Endorsements, yeah. I don't think he's allowed to have any of that until like he becomes, I don't know, the NCAA jumps on that type of stuff. It's pretty bad. Like, remember that YouTuber that kid?
Who? What's his name?
I don't know his name. But, like, he got in trouble because he was getting paid for his YouTube videos. He was making, like, kicking trick shots.
That ain't fair. But that's not a good idea, Lawrence. Definitely.
Like, why would Lawrence say? Yeah. I mean, just to avoid playing for the Jets. For all we know, they might get the number one pick next year.
Yeah, and even if you do go, who's to say that they're going to be the same team that they were? They might have a new head coach. They might have some other weapons. Like, they may not be the same. They may try and give. They may try to build around him.
Dude, everybody was panicking about Miami after they traded Minka Fitzpatrick. They were panicking about them. And now all of a sudden they look like a playoff caliber team.
Yeah.
In just one season. You know? Because you got Fitzpatrick. You got some offensive weapons in Gesicki and Devontae Parker, who's healthy. You know, you still have Xavier Howard. You signed Byron Jones. You signed all those Patriots, Kyle Van Noy and those boys. You know, you got Myles Gaskin, who was a seventh-round pick, but he's starting to play pretty well. You picked up Jordan Howard and Matt Breida in the offseason to try to give Gaskin some help. And then you draft Tua, like. And then you got, you know, what? How many first-round picks do they have?
They do?
Next year? Three or two? They have the Texans' first round pick.
That's not good.
They got at least two first round picks coming up, and they're gonna use those things wisely. I just don't know. I don't know how you choose to stay in school.
This draft stock may fall. Who knows?
And then like you ruin your draft stock. You tear your ACL national championship game. Look at that. Now you probably won't even play in what would be your rookie year. You know, in a year where you don't have to play football in college. Just play in the NFL.
Right. Yeah, definitely just go straight to the NFL. Get your money. Be the number one pick. Get all kinds of endorsements. Your contract is going to be better. You're going to be getting paid like a first rounder. And you're just already at least established.
And if the Jets are so bad, just leave them after your rookie deal. Like, I know you may not want to spend 4 or 5 years at a place that you're not wanting to work at. But if Target was offering me $5 million,
or could he just do what Eli and Roethlisberger did?
What?
Like, well, remember when Eli and Roethlisberger got drafted? Didn't they like do something, or was it just Eli? Remember, Eli was originally got drafted by one team, but he didn't.
And he said he wasn't going to play for them or something. And like,
I don't remember
how he like kind of bitched his way out. I was hearing about that earlier today. They were kind of comparing that to Eli.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know the full details, so I don't want to talk about something.
So maybe I don't know. Maybe he can do something like that. Who knows?
Yeah.
But if you can't win, yeah.
It's really not worth it. I mean, look, if you get Trevor Lawrence, you know.
Wait. Hold on. The Jets want to draft? They're giving up on Darnold already, even though it's not his fault?
Well, from what they think the Jets are going
to
get the
first. Yeah, but they don't need to use it on Lawrence, though.
That's like saying the Cardinals didn't need to use the first pick on.
That is not the same. That's Rosen. Where's Rosen now? Nobody knows. Darnold, you.
Rosen.
Oh, okay. Well, no, it's not the same. Because with all the. Now, don't get me wrong. Darnold's definitely been playing like some poo, but. It's not all his fault. You got to look at Adam Gase. He's bad as a head coach. Like, who do they have on offensively as a threat?
I think they're
so, like, Darnold doesn't have much to work with. He's just been surrounded. He's just been, you know, nurtured very, really badly. He hasn't been surrounded with much talent or good management or good coaching. So, it's not really... Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I would have loved to see one more year of Darnold with Enunwa and Crowder and Anderson and Herndon. He'd probably could have done something with him. But you can't give up on you can't let this opportunity go if you're the Jets. If Trevor Lawrence is available, take him. Plus think about it. This is what, Darnold's third year? I'm sure his rookie contract's gonna end either next year or the year after. So get Lawrence while you can, you know. And if Lawrence is better than Darnold, which he probably is, probably will be, you got to take him, bro. Look, the Cardinals, they set the perfect example of not to waste an opportunity on the best player available. If the best player is available, it's Kyler
Murray. But that's like saying, because the Texans, they Watson, it's looking like they're going to be in a high draft spot next year. So what are you going to take, the best QB that's going to be available, even though you got Watson?
No, you're not going to take Justin Fields. You're going to take Deshaun Watson because you just paid him four years for.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. But I think instead of drafting, just simply going about as drafting the best player available, draft the best player that fits what you need. And I think they need some receivers.
Well, Deshaun Watson has been better.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, I don't think Darnold's gotten a fair go.
Yeah, that's fair. But it seems like all the Jets fans, they want Trevor Lawrence. Like, if we asked LJ right now.
Like, with Rosen, like, that's not, that's, I don't really see that as comparable, because when, after the Cardinals draft. No, because after, because he was just flat, because Kyler was a once in a generational kind of talent. You're talking about somebody that could have played MLB and football, so like you definitely can't pass up on him. And on top of that, like even when Kyler went in there, he was, you know, dealing with the same offensive unit as Rosen was, and you saw that he even performed better than Rosen was. So that right there was just flat out simply Kyler was better. I think with this situation, I say if you swap the two, I don't even see Lawrence doing as much better than Darnold with what he's got to work with, is what I'm saying.
So if Josh Allen plays for the Jets, do you think Josh Allen
for sure
in the situation that Sam Darnold's in right now?
Did you see Josh Allen until he got John Brown and Diggs?
So if Josh Allen, or if Sam Darnold plays for the Bills, would he be playing as well as Josh Allen?
I think he does. Right, yeah, I mean, I think he'd definitely be doing better than the Darnold we know in the Jets. But, I mean, Josh Allen is a better prospect than Darnold. So, I think that's just my stance on it.
I don't know. I just feel like if you're the Jets, you got to take Lawrence in this situation. Especially since Darnold will have his third year in the NFL under his belt. You don't know what his plans are. They're probably not going to resign.
Yeah, go ahead, take him. Like, I mean, you got nothing to lose. I'm just saying, like, I don't think they should give up on him. But if...
Well, you have everything to lose if you think if you think Darnold's...
No, I'm saying, like, if you draft Lawrence, you have nothing to lose, is what I'm saying.
If anything, they would be ridiculed if they didn't take him, if they had the opportunity to take him. But we're only halfway through the season, so we don't know what's going to happen. Do you think now if the Washington football team or the Giants had an opportunity to take Trevor Lawrence, do you agree with your stance on Sam Darnold as you would with Haskins or Daniel Jones? What do you think, Lawrence?
Now, see, it's more understandable for the Giants or the Redskins because they got more to work with than Darnold. I mean, like we said, Daniel Jones, yeah, it's got Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Slayton. If he can't get a deal with them, then it's definitely more understandable if they move on from him. Versus Darnold, who the best receiver he's had is Crowder and Braxton Berrios. I mean, that's not good. So, and then they know just Bell was hurt, and then they just traded him. So they got no run game. So it's you know, they're in two different situations. And then with the Redskins, I'm already on the record for saying they pulled Haskins too early. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I made a mistake. Crowder's actually their leading receiver, but I think a decent amount of time it was Braxton Berrios while Crowder was just out named for both those of them. Few weeks.
But so that's on that. But we'll see how much more longer Smile Allen continues production. I mean, you just play at the Cowboys. It's about as easy as it gets.
Yeah.
As far as on offense versus the Jets, maybe for one of those two.
Yeah. But we will see. Alright, well, Carwin, I appreciate you taking a lot of your time. It's getting a little late. 1:35 a.m. over here.
Oh, okay, that's good. I was about to say.
I do not. No, so my 4 a.m. shift ends on Friday.
Okay.
So technically tomorrow. But I'll be sleeping
today. Alright, that's good, man.
Yeah. And then I start Saturday. Sucks.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, man. It's a good job. Well. But yeah, thanks for having me. Always a good time being on the show. And reach out again. If you ever with another invite. If you ever want me to join again, and I'll let you know. Yes, but Vincent, well, until next time. See you, everybody. Right.